Peace be with you. Friends, our gospel for this week picks up exactly where last week's gospel left off. Remember, Jesus is there in Caesarea Philippi with his disciples. He asked that famous question, "Who do people say that I am?" Having clarified who he is, the Christ, and having clarified the nature of his task, walking the way of suffering love. So we saw that last week. Having done all that, Jesus leaves Caesarea Philippi with his disciples. On the way, he continues to explain to them the nature of his mission. Now listen in. This is from today's gospel. "The Son of Man will be handed over to men, and they will kill him. And 3 days after his death, the Son of Man will rise." There's an extraordinary summary, isn't it, of the whole Paschal mystery. But here's the funny thing. They are blithely indifferent to what he says. And that's why the disciples are beautiful anticipations of all of us. Why do I say they're indifferent to him? Well, what they're privately discussing is which of them is the greatest. In other words, they are utterly stuck in the way of the ego, of what I've called the little self, the pusilla anima, the little soul. Again, what's so comical about this is how beautifully it anticipates all of us present followers of Jesus. We hear over and over again all our lives about the path of suffering love. That's the message. That's the Paschal mystery. We have displayed before us constantly the image of Jesus crucified, and we confess over and again, he is the Lord. Yet, we do the same thing the disciples do. We pine after power, privilege, worldly honor. How strange, isn't it? The path of suffering love, we affirm it abstractly, but oh, when push comes to shove, we are not eager to walk it. And so Jesus tries patiently once again to explain. Here's again from our gospel for today. "Taking a child, he placed it in their midst, and putting his arms around it, he said to them, 'Whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me.'" Now, what does receiving a little child mean but becoming like him? Taking that little child into yourself. What the Lord is saying is that the way of the ego, grasping, gaining, climbing the ladder, filling the empty cage with possessions, holding off your rivals, I mean, all of that, is the path to spiritual death. And he's saying, furthermore, that the path to life is that of the little child. Now, that's the image we're meant to keep in our minds. Think of that now. Imagine that. Jesus crouching down, putting his arms around this little child, and then proposing the child as the great model to his disciples. Well, that's meant to be proposed to us. You know what the gesture of the Lord puts me in mind of? Thérèse of Lisieux, the little flower. The great saint whose spiritual path is called the little way, and a path that she often compared to spiritual childhood. The path of being a child in the presence of the Lord. What did she mean by this? Well, first of all, she didn't mean the path of childish irresponsibility or stupidity. The little flower herself was extremely canny, intelligent, creative, resourceful. It's not childishness. That's a kind of sentimental misconstrual of it. She means, I think, at least a couple things, and I'd like to meditate upon these with the great image from the Lord in mind. Unless you receive a little child in my name, you can't have the kingdom. I think Thérèse of Lisieux means first this. To To walk the way of the child is to walk the path of the present moment and to walk the path of trust. First of all, the present moment. Children have this extraordinary capacity to find joy in the simplest things and the simplest activities. I remember how when I was a little kid, I mean, going back many years, when I was 6 or 7 years old, I could spend blissful hours in the backyard just inventing imaginary worlds, or hours in the same backyard playing baseball or football. In fact, one of the most achingly nostalgic memories I have is of playing football with my brother and our friends on those long, late summer evenings where it seemed to last, the day seemed to last, you know, for hours and hours, just playing football until it got so dark we couldn't see the ball. During those moments, living in that kind of beautiful imaginary world or playing sports, during those moments, listen now, I wasn't thinking about the past or the future. I wasn't worrying particularly about what I didn't have or what other people have that I don't have. I wasn't lost in rivalries and jealousies. I was just lost in the ecstasy of the present moment, enjoying fully what was right in front of me. I might have told you before about Anthony DeMello, the contemporary spiritual writer, who said that one of his greatest spiritual masters was a little dog whom he saw one day. The dog was looking up into a tree and watching a monkey cavort about in the branches. The dog was, in that way dogs have, smiling, barking, visibly excited as he followed the monkey's activities, utterly lost in that one moment. What DeMello saw was something blissful, something ecstatic, as that little dog just utterly given over to the moment. When I was studying German, I was over in Germany in the town of beautiful town of Freiburg in Breisgau. I remember in class we were made to read a German folktale, which I've never forgotten. It had to do with a man who was peacefully fishing on a lake. His old school friend came up to him, confronted him, and challenged him to use his energies more creatively and to unleash his ambition. You know, do something with your life. Here you're sitting around fishing. And what if I did? Asked the man in the boat. Well, his friend said, you might rise higher in your own company. Perhaps even become the president. And then what? Asked the man in the boat. Well, then you could put away a lot of money. You could retire. You could do whatever you want. And the man responded, well, that's exactly what I'm doing right now. I love that little story. It shows how we get so preoccupied with what might be, what we don't have, what other people might be thinking of us, all the programs and projects of the ego. What that man was able to do was live radically in the present moment, finding peace in this simple activity of fishing. His friend was caught up in all of the ego games. To live in the present moment in such a way that you see the opportunities for love, for savoring, and for gratitude. See, that's the key, friends, isn't it? Right now, right in front of me, there's an opportunity for love. There's an opportunity to savor. There's an opportunity to feel grateful. One of the great spiritual teachers said this, you have everything you need right now, right in front of you, to be happy. Let that sink in. I mean, it's so counterintuitive, isn't it? No, happiness is so elusive and yeah, maybe someday I'll be happy, or if I got this or that, or I got the right promotion, or people paid more attention to me, or I had more money, had better vacations, and then I'd be happy. In fact, that's a key to unhappiness, living in the future or living in the past. You've got everything you need right now, right in front of you, to be happy. Believe that. Why? Because right now, no matter where you are, no matter what's happening to you, no matter what you have the opportunity to love, to savor, and to be grateful. The child can live happily and intensely in the now. Now, let's go back to St. Therese's second great mark of spiritual childhood. Trust. Trust. The little flower often compares herself to a toddler who simply raises her hands up, hoping to be lifted up, trusting that she would find peace and security in the arms of her father. So are we, she said, vis-a-vis God. Oh, we can control certain things in our environment. We can manage our lives to some degree. Nothing wrong with that. But listen, in the grand scheme of things, we really control very little. What happens to us? How our lives unfold? Sufferings and joy that we experience? Very little of it really can be anticipated. But, we can learn to live in radical trust. Here's an image that comes to my mind whenever I meditate on this theme. When I was a little guy, 7 years old, 8 years old perhaps, the end of a long day, might have been the 4th of July or some family holiday, and I'm in the back seat of our family car. My father's driving. I'd have no idea how to get home. If you had asked me when I was 8 years old, how do we get back to Western Springs, I wouldn't have known. Which turnoff do you take? I don't know. How do you get there? No idea. But yet, I would blissfully fall asleep in the backseat of that car, utterly trusting that my father would get us home. And I would fall sound asleep in complete trust, complete confidence. We are all spiritual children vis-a-vis God. As Thomas Merton said, "My Lord God, I have no idea where I'm going." That's true of all of us. You know, from day to day, I don't really have any idea where I'm going. But can I learn to live in this complete trust? Falling asleep in the backseat of the car and letting God drive. Unless you receive this little child, unless you become like this little child, you can't enter into the kingdom that Jesus is talking about. Living in the present moment in gratitude, living in radical trust, walking the way of the child. And God bless you.